would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 18, the 18th Psalm. And this is a fascinating passage of Scripture. I say that a lot, I know. And you know, you've heard the preacher say, I got out of the habit a long time ago. This is my favorite passage of Scripture because, honestly, I have a new favorite Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And now I say this is a fascinating one, and it is. I know I say that a lot, but I'm just excited about the truth here in this passage of Scripture. When you come to Psalm 18, I want you to look at the title of Psalm 18. Most copies of the Scripture have a title. I don't believe the title to be inspired. It wasn't part of the original, but it gives us some insight into what's going on. And so the title that's written here under Psalm 18 in my Bible says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. And he said," that's the title here. How many of you, in your copy of the Scripture, it says, you read that and followed along. The bottom line is, this is the time in David's life when finally, after all the grief and heartache and years had passed since Samuel the prophet anointed him to be the next king of Israel, finally all the enemies that stood in the way of him becoming the king of Israel were gone, and he had his rightful place on the throne. Now, I'll have you know something. David actually reflects in this passage of Scripture about how hard it was and talks about great darkness, how difficult those years were. And you can just imagine. Let's think about David's heartbreak as a young boy. He got a young man. He was anointed to be the king of Israel. He goes and plays the harp and helps and becomes assistant to King Saul and falls in love with King Saul. But war comes with the Philistines and he has to go back home and tend to sheep again. Can you imagine the disappointment that the young man had? He's like, "You mean I got to go back to the shepherd's field?" Yes. And so then war fires up and his older brothers get to go fight the war and he's stuck with the sheep. And then God sends him by his father to carry food and he goes and fights Goliath and defeats Goliath. Man, I'm telling you, that was a big day in the life of that young man, wasn't it? And I could just imagine that it was a glorious day. What a great victory and triumph. But that victory wasn't the final victory because there was a lot of grief that happens between the time that Goliath falls on that battlefield and David becomes the king. David is given to for his wife, King Saul's daughter. He becomes a ruler in King Saul's house, but rage and envy fills King Saul's heart. And one day David is going guns a-blazing, wide open, serving God and serving his king, waiting for his turn to be the next king in Israel. And Saul, in great rage, tries to pin him to the wall with a spear and tries to kill him. David has to run for his life. We find him hiding out in the cave of Adullam. And years pass, literally, that Saul tries to kill David and seeks David out and wages war. The nation of Israel, the armies of Israel, wage war against their king. Can you imagine that? David's heart is full of grief and burden and dismay. And man, it's tough. But now, in chapter number 18, David writes, the last war had been fought, the last battle had become victorious, and David was seated on the throne of Israel in his rightful place. It's almost like, there's no real connection, but it's almost like this is his inauguration speech. This is his moment to reflect on what God had done through the years from the time he's anointed to be the king through all the ups and downs and burdens and difficulties. This was his moment to reflect and let everybody know what God had done. You know, when I read this and understood the context, I was encouraged by it. Because we're not speaking, we're not hearing from a man right in the middle of the con. How many of you have been right in the middle of something and you just can't see it very plain? And we're not talking to somebody that was right in the beginning of the conflict. Because in the beginning of the conflict, you know you can trust God and you know the word, the right words to say. But in the beginning of the conflict, you have, what if this happens? What if that happens? So we're not talking about somebody in the beginning of the conflict. We're not talking about somebody in the midst of the conflict. Right now, in Psalm 18, we've got a guy who is standing on the other side, victorious, with the crown on his head, the scepter in his hand, the power of the nation of Israel at his disposal, doing exactly what God called him to do, and he's looking back over the years. He's looking back over the years, and he's going to give us some insight into how God had proven Himself faithful. You know, we find ourselves at the beginning or in the middle, but not at the end just yet. But I'll tell you something, the perspective, the man of God, reflecting on life, looking back across the battles and the victory, is something that will help us with to have great clarity when we're beginning to fight one or right in the middle of the worst of it all. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse number 30. Verse number 30. The Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Look what the Bible says in verse 30. "As for God, His way is perfect." Here's what it looks like. David is on the victor's throne. He's looking back at all the ups and downs, twists and turns. And man, did he ever have them. He's looking back at all the path from the time he started to the times he's right in the middle of it, wondering if he's going to make it or not. He's looking back on it. He's saying, man, it was twisty and turny and up and down and backwards and forwards and confusing at times. But he says, I want to tell you something. I'm looking at what God has done. He says, there's only one thing I can say. His way is perfect. I'll just tell you, when we can get to the place in our Christian life that we can say with confidence and faith that God's way is perfect, oh, it's a wonderful place to be. His way is perfect. Do not be fooled. His way is perfect. Look what the Scripture says. I love it. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." Verse number 32. "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." You see, my way is not necessarily perfect. But I'll tell you this. When I allow God's perfect way to be my way, then my way is perfect too. May God help us to take hold of the simple truth. His way is perfect. As David looks back on his life, we can't take the time to look at all these 50 verses, but there's some things that have jumped off the page that the Lord has encouraged me with in light of this reflection and in light of the fact that David is just going to tell us God's way is perfect. That's really helped me. The first thing I want to bring to your attention on is this. Number one, God was faithful. As David looks back on life, he says, I just want you to know, God was faithful. Now, David was a man, and David didn't do everything just right. But as David looks back on his life, back on this season of his life specifically, he says God was faithful. Now, when you're in the beginning or in the middle, and you're right in the midst of conflict and uncertainty, you can rest in the fact that God was faithful for David, and God will be faithful for you. God was faithful. Look at the Bible says, verse number 1. He says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." What's he say? He says, God's way is perfect because God was faithful. He says, "I will love thee." You know, David confesses his love throughout his life to the Lord. But as he's looking back on the situations and the events of life, he says, "I love the Lord. I love Him. I love the Lord. He is my strength." You know what David realized? He says, God was faithful. He says, God was faithful to give me strength. He's faithful to give me strength. Have you ever thought about, I don't know how I'm going to deal with the next few days? I do that occasionally. How many of you in the last week have thought, I don't know how I'm going to deal with the next few days? Would you be honest with Guess what? God is faithful. That's what David said. He says, Lord, you're my strength. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. And David says, God is my strength. He said, I don't have enough strength, but God does. When David thought about being anointed a shepherd boy to be the next king of Israel, he had no idea how to get there. And if he'd known all he'd had to go through to get to the throne, he'd probably been even more scared than he already was. But he says, God's been my strength. Every twist and turn, God has proven himself faithful. God is faithful. Verse number 2, the Lord is my rock. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The bottom line is, the ultimate foundation of our life never fails. God is our rock. David said, hey, no matter what was going on, whether I was hiding out in the cave, running for my life, or whether I was standing on a battlefield facing a man three or four times my size, God is my rock. He's not only my rock, something to stand on. He is my fortress. He's my fortress. He says, God has got me circled about, encompassed about, protecting me. I don't have to worry about it. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He says, God's going to help me. He's delivered me from all kinds of messes. He's my God. Don't forget, He's my God. My Lord. He says, I don't want you to be mistaken. I'm not talking about some man that can fail you. My Lord is my God. He's my strength. In whom I will trust. My buckler. I like that word, buckler. Buckler, don't get your hopes set on it, some kind of fancy belt or somebody to fasten your belt. Wouldn't that be a buckler? My hands were really sore, I guess Ruth could be my buckler. But that's not what this word means. A buckler is literally a shield. Most of the time it was about a 4 foot tall shield. It was something that it was curved. A man could hide behind a buckler. And it was made out of so many layers of different things that it would protect you from fiery darts of the enemy and protect you from the incoming ray. But he says, God is my shield. He covers me from head to toe. He protects me. He says, God has been faithful. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation. I'll just tell you, I don't understand this phrase exactly. I understand that he's my salvation. The only way I can have salvation in light of eternal life, salvation from sin, is through faith in Christ. I understand that He's my salvation. I also understand that Jesus saves me from trouble. And the Bible says He's the horn of my salvation. And all I can think about as I looked up and studied that word horn, it just literally means like the horn on a deer or the horn on a saddle. It's the strong point. And maybe that's exactly the meaning of it. That God is the strength of our salvation. And if that's the case, and I believe it may be, that if God is the strength of your salvation, guess what? Your salvation is very secure. Isn't that wonderful? It's solid. It's powerful. He says He's the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, I love that, high tower. What is the significance of a high tower? I'll tell you. You can see a high tower from just about anywhere. And when the battle's raging and things are difficult and you're right in the midst of life's burdens and difficulties, as a matter of fact, David gives testimony of his high tower all through the Psalms. Because he keeps looking to God. No matter where he is on the battlefield, he can turn somewhere and see that high tower, the fact that God is greater than the battles. He says His way is perfect. God was faithful. The Bible says in verse number 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Folks, I want you to know something. His way is perfect, and you can know it because God was faithful. David said God was faithful. Look at verse 28. I like this. When he thinks about his life, he says in the previous verses, and I'd encourage you to read it, he talks about how dark it was. How dark times were. How many of you have been in a real dark time? And it's not like the lights aren't on or the sun's not rising, but it's just dark. And David says, man, I've been in some dark times. But he said, you know what God did for me? Verse 28, he says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He says, God was faithful in the darkest moments of my life. When I turned to the Lord, God lit my candle. I love it. Sometimes we might need to pray, Lord, light my candle. Lord, you know what kind of shape I'm in. Will you please light my candle? And He will. You know why God's faithful? Lord, light my candle. He says in verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Verse 29, He says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. See, he's praising God for being faithful. You know what he's saying about it? He said, he's just remembering that time. I don't know the story. You could possibly find it in one of the books of David. But he was remembering a time when he ran through a troop of soldiers and God protected him. He's remembering a time when he leaped from a wall and God protected him. He said, I just want everybody to know, as I'm looking back on the years that have been and seeing how good God is and how faithful, and I've got victory now at this moment in my life, I just want to remind people God's faithful. Look what the Scripture says in verse 33. He says, God's faithful. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high place. He says, He's made my feet able to do things that they otherwise couldn't do. And I've been able to get places and stand firm. Look again in verse 36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. He says, God's made my feet little so they could climb on rocks, and great big so they could stand in the mud. God's just been perfect for me. He says, what I needed when I needed it, God gave it. He says, His way's perfect. God is faithful. Verse 39, He says, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. All through this passage of Scripture, He says, thou hast, thou hast, thou hast. Thank you, Lord. By the way, if you're trying to do life without God, you're going to be miserable. One, you're going to be a failure. Two, and number three, you're going to miss out on the sweetest blessing anybody could possibly ever have, to live life in communion with the God and Creator of life who makes His way perfect. His way is perfect. God was faithful. David said, hey, I'm looking back on it. Number one, God was faithful. Number two, he says, not only I found out that God was faithful, but I found out that God was just. I like the word just. Just means that it's justified. It has makes sense. The Bible gives us a principle of sowing and reaping, and this is a lot what it looks like. God was just. Look what David says about how the Lord worked. Verse 20. The Bible says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me. I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. What did He say? He says, the Lord has rewarded me for my good deeds and for obeying His word. Perfection? No. Faithfulness? Yes. David says, the Lord rewarded me. In verse 24, he says, the Lord recompensed me. He says, I reap what I've sowed, and I'm thankful that God is just. He continues with this same thought, and he says in verse 25, with the merciful thou wilt show mercy. Thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. Verse 26, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. What's he say? He says God responds to His people. Mercy gets mercy. Uprightness gets uprightness. Purity gets purity. And frowardness, wickedness, gets wickedness. The Bible says, verse 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people that will bring down high looks. I love this verse. You hear that? Thou wilt save the afflicted people. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can't tell who the afflicted people are and who aren't the afflicted people? You can't tell which ones are being scoundrels and taking advantage and trying to act like they're afflicted so they can get what they can get. Sometimes that situation makes me angry. Maybe it shouldn't, but it's true. The Bible says that thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high looks. What's David say? I found out that God is just. God is just. God takes care of business. He takes care of things. He does things right. He has a perfect accounting system. I love this notion about God's justice. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's that mean? That means if you confess your sin, He's faithful to forgive your sin. If you confess it, He'll do it. But not only will He do it, but He's justified in doing it. It means He has every right to forgive your sins. He's just in forgiving your sins because He is the perfect God. He is our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He forgives us sins. Just. God is just. He does what's right. I hate this, but it's true. If we fail to repent of our sins, God is just. And the penalty of our sins falls on our own shoulders. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And that is the product of the justice of God. God is just. I'll just have you know something. God's accounting system is perfect. God's accounting system is perfect. God was just. You know what David said? I found out God was just. To the merciful, He showed Himself merciful. But to the froward, He showed Himself froward. I want to show you a picture of God's justice. Will you look with me back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 20? Exodus chapter 20 is the account of the Ten Commandments. And if you're looking for the Ten Commandments just to be listed straight up and down the way you see them on the pillars in the courthouse wall, which I think they should be on the courthouse wall, but that's not exactly how they're written here in the Scriptures. The Bible gives some details around and surrounding the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in verse number 6, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Me and keep My commandments." Verse number 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain." I love that verse. Here's what I want to say. God is just. God's accounting system is perfect. In the establishment of the legal system in the United States of America, someone with the understanding of Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 7, set up the oath-taking process. Have you ever watched someone take an oath? I watched one just today. Watch the clip of the oath of office for the President of the United States. I've been in oath-taking ceremonies where a sheriff actually had the opportunity to preach for a message before our sheriff, the sheriff of Henderson County, North Carolina, took his oath of office. People stand and they give testimony in court and they put their hands on the Bible. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me, God. That's right. Today, at the conclusion of the oath of office, the last phrase, "So help me, God," and it responded with this phrase, "So help me, God." Now, I don't know about you, but that's serious. You know, folks who founded our legal system, they were pretty smart. And they knew a whole lot about Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. You know that it's possible to lie under oath? It is. And it's impossible to know if somebody's lying under oath. And it's impossible to hold everybody accountable for every lie they tell under oath. You know that it's possible for leaders in our great country to be rotten and corrupt? I pray they not all are. I don't believe they all are. It's possible for leaders in our society to be corrupt. The founders of our legal system understood this. They said, you know what? We can't get it right every time. We can't keep the score settled every time. So you know what we're going to do? Every time a person in our society takes oath of office, every time someone gives testimony in a court of law, we're just going to give them to God. And we'll have them put their hands on the Bible and take their oath and conclude it with, "So help me God." And God's Word says that He will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. I'll just tell you something. With my understanding of Exodus 20 and the power of God and the fact that God is just, that you reap what you sow, I'd be really careful if I ever took an oath to do exactly what I said I'd do, because if I failed in my oath, if I cheated in my oath, if I lied in my oath, I've taken God's name in vain. And God will not hold him guiltless. There's penalty to pay. Now look, folks, you can rest in the fact that God is just. All through David's life, he was dealt bad hands and he was dealt with unjustly. But as he looks back on his life, he says, you know what? God was just. God was faithful. God took care of business. And right prevailed. And wrong ultimately failed. Just like the old preacher said, we win. In the end, we win. God was just. David said, hey, his way was perfect. God was just. Finally, number three, he said not only was God faithful, not only was God just, his way was perfect. God was right. God was right. You know, you can't help but think along the trail, along David's life, that he would have thought and taken opportunity perhaps and be tempted to step out of God's way. You know, it's easy to be tempted to step out of God's way. There are certainly easier ways to attempt to get what you think you want. But David says, I've found out something. It was crooked and up and down and difficult. But he said, I found out God's way was perfect. His way was right. Look what the Bible says back in our text in verse number 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. He looked back and he said, I'll tell you, I'm really thankful that I stayed and kept my heart in tune with God, because His way was perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. I love that phrase. The Word of the Lord is tried. The word tried literally means that it was refined. Like a refiner's fire. The Word of the Lord was tried. It was proven. This isn't the only time we see David using language like that. He said when he had Saul's armor on getting ready to fight Goliath, he said, I can't take this into battle because it's not proven. He said, but my sling's proven and God's proven. And now he's looking back years later, he's saying, God's Word is proven. It's tried. He says, He is a buckler. He's standing behind that shield of faith. Again, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? He says, God's a rock. He was right. God was right. God was right. If you're ever tempted to turn your back on the Lord, just remember, God was right. When things get difficult, just remember, God was right. If you think maybe for a second the wave of sin and abomination that is rampant in our society and has become common knowledge and accepted by the public is right, do not turn your back on God, because David looked at the end after all the ups and downs and the burdens that he bore and he said, hey, God was right. Don't change sides. Don't change sides when the score seems to be in your disadvantage. Remember, God was right. Look what the Bible says in verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. Verse 50. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. What's he say? He says, I just want everybody to know God was right. God was right. Now look, we're somewhere in the midst of our storms. We're somewhere, right, either near the beginning or in the middle. Maybe we're nearing the end. Jesus could come back any moment. Hallelujah. That'd be great. But irregardless of where we are in the storms of life, take some advice to a guy that made it all the way to the end and turned around and looked back. And he said, when you're fighting, when you're in the midst of it, when the path is crooked, when the way seems strange, just remember, His way is perfect. God is faithful. God is just. God is right. Blessed be the name of the Lord.